I thought we'd talk about a topic that is both Parsha related, Parsha B'chukosai, obviously, ancient Takanas Ezra to lay the Tochacha, the Shabbos before the Shabbos before Shavuos, the Shabbos before the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, but also in Yonat Yoma, obviously what the world has been going through, what Am Yisrael really has experienced over the past couple of days. I thought this would be a good opportunity to talk about this topic. With Hashem, next week we'll get back to a topic related to Shavuos. Again, we'll have to find another time to talk about the Yonim of Yerushalayim. Yom Yerushalayim next week. Hopefully, we'll do that at some point soon. But the topic that we're going to talk about, as you see the title of Emunah in Challenging Times. Again, this hopefully will give us some insight into right now, but also for the future, for various events. It's not a limited, Rahman al-Islam, to a specific tzara, but just ideas that we should be thinking about when things in life happen, whether they're national, whether they're personal. The Rambam tells us in Ofas Tainus, any discussion of how to react to difficulties and challenges has to start with the Rambam. Start with the Rambam Menuchas Tainus. What the Rambam tells us, source number one, Mitzvah Saseh, Mina Torah, Lizoku, Lariya, Bachatzotzrots. I'll call Tzara Shetavo Al Atzibur. It's a Mitzvah Daraisa. To cry out when something happens. To turn to Hashem when something happens. That is a Mitzvah. Again, it's not a Mitzvah that we want to do. Right? Not every Mitzvah is a Mitzvah we want to do. A Mitzvah means what Hashem tells us to do in every situation. Right? And the Mitzvah of Avelos is not a Mitzvah that we want to do. The Mitzvah of returning a stolen item is not a mitzvah that we want to do. Mitzvah of Yibum is not something that we want to do. But a mitzvah means Hashem taught us what to do in every situation. So the Rambam says, when there's a tzara, when there's a difficulty on the tzibur, then it's a mitzvah to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'davar zeh midarkei hatshuvah, and this is the way of repentance. Shebizman shetavo tzara v'yizaku aleha, if we have that reaction, then we'll recognize that it's a message for us. Shebiglal masim haroyim, that we have to do more in our lives, v'chulu. Avalam lo yizaku v'lo yariyu. But if we don't have a reaction, el yom rudavar zeh mimina golam iralanu. Crazy things happen in the world. V'tzarezu nikra nikres. It happens. You know, people die all the time. You know, tragedies happen all the time. Or people get sick. If we have that attitude, says the Rambam, that's derech achzarius v'goremes lam lidavik b'maseyim haroyim. Right, then we're obviously just letting things slide, and that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, has in mind, as we'll see. So the Rambam tells us that we have to stop and have some type of reaction other than ignoring, other than just, you know, letting things go. So the question is, what are we supposed to be thinking about? How are we supposed to react when a difficulty happens? Again, many of us have this week in mind, but in life, somebody goes through a difficult time, a neighborhood, a family. How are we supposed to take it? And we need to react constructively and in a positive way. The Rambam tells us, as we know, we hold there's a mitzvah of avelus. Just to give another example, that's chiyuvim. There's a chiyuv of avelus. It's not a choice. There are certain things that we have to do, Rachman Litzlan, in mourning. There's certain things where we have to do, and certain things we're not allowed to do. And there's a certain limitations on what we how long we should, you know, be in that state for. But and it's crucial to have those reactions. The Rambam writes, in Perek Beis of Chazavel, a famous formulation within the world of Avelos, Kama Chamura Mitzvah Avelos. How stringent, how serious is the mitzvah of Avelos? Shari Nitches Lo Tuma Bibne Krovav. A Kohen is allowed to become Tameh. And yet he hasn't, not only can he, but we pass him, he has to become Tamei for his relatives. Kadeshi Yisasek Yimo and V'yisam L'Olehem. Shemar Kiyim L'Sharak Rabbi Lov, Lo Yitama Mitzvah Saseh. Shem Lo Ratzal Yitama Mitamanoso. And the Rambam includes, in Tumas Kohen, he includes the Mitzvah of Avelos. So how to react is something that we have to learn, we have to think about, and obviously the Torah is always our lighthouse. Torah and Chazal tell us, guide us in what we should do, how we should think. And what we're going to talk about are just a couple of thoughts, obviously not a comprehensive anything, and just from thoughts that we see in the Mefarshim that give us some insight on some level. So we're going to talk about three ideas. Three ideas. Maybe there are three stages. Some different sorrows take us through all the different stages. They're all important stages, important ideas. You know, and different experiences take us down different paths, different time frames for these ideas, depending on the event. But all of them must be there on some level. One is in the heart, one is in the mind, and one is in our actions. It's going to be the three ideas: emotional, intellectual, and action. So number one, Hargashas Halev. Whenever any challenge happens, whenever any difficulty, tzara, tragedy, event, the first step is just to stop and think and feel. That's what Hashem demands of a Jew. To feel, to think. That's what the Rambam says. Don't ignore it. Don't deny it. You know, there are psychological studies about, you know, when people go through difficulties, sometimes it's natural to, you know, first there's denial and then there's anger and then the five stages, you know, of ultimately to acceptance. But that's, we have to get to that stage of just recognizing the reality. Step number one. If it happens, if it's a personal tzara that happened to us personally, then this is natural. I don't have to try to feel it. I feel it. You know, I don't know what to do with it sometimes, but I feel it. It's memela. But deep down, that's something positive. Because that means you appreciated the other person. Or you appreciate somebody gets ill and it's very heartbreaking. That means you're connected to a fellow Jew. That's a good thing. Friends are a good thing. Family is a great thing. So when it happens personally and we feel something, you know, that's something that we have to recognize, the beauty and the value of relationships, the beauty and the value of people. And deep down, that's something part of us. And it's, and to think and to cry and to connect, you know, that's aninus. That's what aninus demands, right? We know before the burial, halacha forbids us from doing mitzvos because we focus on the loss. Again, that's an extreme case. I'm not only talking about those types of tzaras. But that's step number one. But even if I'm not directly connected, I need to feel the pain of Achinu Bnei Yisrael. I need to make myself if another Jew is in pain. Look in Rav Asher Weiss in Hesichas on Moadim, in source number four, he quotes a story from Rav Moshe Leimi Sasov, one of the Hasidic Rebbes, who once was talking about V'yahavta Recha Kamocha. And he said he once witnessed a conversation between two non-Jews on the street. Shal goy ploni esalmoni. Ploni esalmoni. Hamato ahevoti, you love me? You love me? And Almoni says, what kind of question is it? Of course, I've been your best friend for 25 years. Of course I love you. That you really love me? Yeah, what kind of question is that? Okay, tell me which of my teeth are hurting me right now. He said, what are you talking about? How do I know what teeth are hurting you? I don't know. You didn't tell me. So you're not totally connected to me. It's not the highest level. Again, that's extremely being one person. But the message, feeling another Jew's pain, feeling as one. And the Sasavar says, quotes from the Baal Shem Tov, the Baal Shem Tov says, anything we ever witnessed in life, there was a reason that we had to witness that. Kadosh Baruch Hu sent something in front of us to witness, to feel, to connect to. So we have to learn from it. So he's heard that conversation and he said, V'yatu recha kamocha. So even if it's not us, we have to work on feeling and recognizing the pain of fellow Jews. Yeah, I mentioned in the past the story, I think it was the Panovich Rav, I found it was someone else who came to Radin for the first time, and they went to visit the Chavetz Chaim, and they were just passing through Radin, and they come, and the Rebbetzin says, you know, he'll be out in a few minutes, and they hear, in the back room, they hear the Chavetz Chaim wailing. And they ask the Rebbetzin, What's he wailing with? He's like, yeah, somebody on the other side of town is having a baby. She's having a tough labor. It's like, oh, is it your daughter? Your daughter-in-law? A friend? And he's like, no, he has no idea who it is. We just heard that. There was somebody that was going through something. I have to stay here. I can't leave rotten, if that's the type of person. Because the Chafetz Chaim knew which tooth was hurting in the other Jew. That's the Chafetz Chaim's level. And if you look, I quoted to some of you who were in the house in the car with yesterday, quoted this Tosas. Tosas is Maseches Menachas and Daf Lamed Zayin. Quotes an unusual medrash about Ashmadai. Ashmadai, one of those head demons, remember Maseches Gittin, he was the one that brought the ended up helped Shlomo HaMelech get the Shamir, head of the demons. So there's a story. Hotzi mitachas karka adam echad yesh lo shnei rashim. It's in Tosfos and Menachos. He brought in front of Shlomo a man with two heads. Lefnei Shlomo HaMelech. V'nasa yishav olad banim chayotze bo. And he had children. He married. He had some children. Some children had two heads. Some children had one head. And now the father died. And the question is, how many chalakim of Yerusha does the two-headed person get? One or two? Adkan divrei Tosfos. Tosfos does not answer the question or quote what Shlomo HaMelech answered. So we might find this somewhat humorous, like what kind of Tosfos. So if you look on the daf in the Shidim Kubetzes, in Menachos, it's on the page. So the Shidim Kubetzes on the page quotes the end of the story. What Shlomo paskind? Shlomo b'chachmaso, hirtiach mayim, v'kisa echem en arashim, v'shavach aroscham arosh hasheni. He covered one of the heads, and he poured some hot water on the second head. All of a sudden, both heads started screaming in pain. Shlomo says, it's one person. They feel the pain of each other. It's one person. And that's step number one. Reaction of Itzara is emotional. Not thinking, but feeling. Just getting back to the Chafetz Chaim. So when first 7 years of my marriage, I lived in Borough Park. And we dived into this little shul on Fort Hamilton Parkway, and right behind me sat Rabbi Chiel. Rabbi Chiel learned in Radin with the Chafetz Chaim when he was a teenager. So I love talking to Rabbi Chiel at the davening. I didn't do it that often, but so one time I asked Rabbi Chiel, tell me something about the Chafetz Chaim. So says the he told me, he says the Chafetz Chaim was always crying. He was always crying. He says he heard about somebody who had a baby after so many years. He started crying as if it was his own daughter. So he heard about it, Sarah, he heard about it, this, but he was always in their shoes. His Avos Yisrael was unfathomable. He said he was always crying. Hargashas Halev. Step number one, when anything happens, I mean, this message is also relating to, let's say, a simcha. Not dafka, Sarah. We're talking about Saras, but a simcha too. Somebody gets engaged, somebody has a baby, somebody gets a refuah. So we have to have that simcha and that feeling. Number one. Number two. Now we move to the mind. And maybe this is also chronological also. The first step when you hear something is, as I mentioned to my shiur the other day, we don't look for explanations, we don't look for blaming. This is how a Jew reacts. We feel. Number two, we recognize that nothing's haphazard in life. We recognize, like Avram Avinu did, that there's a Baal Habira. There's someone in charge. Though we do not understand, but we recognize that there is a power that's in charge. The Chinuch writes in Parshas Kedoshim, in last week's Parsha, 2 weeks ago's Parsha, on the mitzvah of Nekama. This is a basic chinuch, if they were refrigerator chinuchs. You know, those that you put up on the fridge, there are refrigerator rambams. This is a refrigerator chinuch. In the days of old, when you had magnets on the front of the fridge. Now there's it's not only up on the side, most refrigerators. But anyway, mishar she'a mitzvah. She'yeda, so what's the problem? How do you not take nekama? How do you not even want to take nekama? Somebody punches me in the face, somebody cuts me off on the road, right? Somebody cuts me online in the Chadar Ochel. Somebody spills something on me. Somebody insults me. Sweet revenge. How could I train myself not to? Isn't it natural? Isn't it automatic? If you ask the average person on the street, yeah, what are you talking about? Yeah, for sure. I'm not going to let him step on me. So obviously there's self-defense, But says the chinuch, sheyedah ha'adam yitin alibo, ki kola sheyigriyo mitov ad ra, everything that happens to us, Husiba Shetavo Ala Meisa Hashem Baruch Hu. 95% of our life is out of our control. It's Tali Badas Acherim. Everything that happens to us, says the Chinuch, we have to recognize, was meant to be. Umiyad ha'adam miyad ish achiv lo yiyadav ar bilti ratzon Hashem Baruch Hu. Nothing's going to happen to us if Hashem didn't decree it. Al kein kishit sayiru o yachivu adam. If I'm in pain, if I have any type of difficulty, yeda benafsho, I have to know that it was sent to me to help perfect my nefesh. V'lo yashis machshavos ablin kabimenu. I'm going to get upset at him and try to take revenge from him. He's just a tool of God. Rabbi Meir Twersky, I heard him talk about this chinuch a couple of decades ago, and he explained it as man is both subject and object in life. We're a subject, meaning we have bechira chashus, every single thing we do. We're going to be held accountable for, we're going to get rewarded for. We are subjects. Free choice, that's one of the basic tenets that we believe in. But that doesn't change at all that we are also objects in terms of everything happening to us. How does that work together? That the person has bechira chashus to hit me, and Hashem's going to yischar v'onish, but from my point of view, it was meant to be. Hashem has that worked out. But we recognize everything that happens to us and related to us is meant to be. And he quoted that's what Yosef says to the brothers. What did Yosef say at the end of Bereishis? Ah, it's all good. It was meant to be. I was meant to be sold to Mitzrayim. Ki lamichya shlachani aleichem. Did Yosef just say they did nothing wrong? Did Yosef just say they did a mitzvah by selling him to Egypt as a slave? No, Yosef was just saying, it's not up to me. I'm going to be upset. From my point of view, me as object, it was meant to be. You as subject, that's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we recognize there's a Baal Habira. We recognize there's someone in charge, and everything that happens that we did not have control over was meant to be. This does not mean that we understand anything, but we know there's a plan. Heard of Bitterman this week, quote, we say in Avarachamim, Shochein Bamromim. We say it every Shabbos. It's all about the tragedies that have happened. Why, Dafka, do we use that Lashon in Avarachamim? We also use it in one other paragraph. Kel Mali Rachamim. Shochein Bamromim, the one who rests on high. Why do we use that Lashon Dafka there? Because that's the only place that really it feels like Rachmanus. Of Harachamim, Shochein Bamromim. Down here, we don't understand it as that. But we recognize that there's an Of Harachamim that's Shochein Bamromim. We recognize that there is Rachamim in an upper world. And maybe that's even alluded to in the Psukim in Kisisa. In Kisisa, Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem, Hodieni nas drachecha. Please let me understand your ways. What was he asking? So the Gemara in Bracha says, in source number 9, Tzadik v'ra'ala, Rosh v'tovlo. Moshe's asking the question, why do the righteous suffer? Tzadik v'ra'ala. And according to what we paskin, the Gemara says, is that as brachas? He didn't get an answer. Even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't get an answer. But if you look in the Torah Shebichsav, what does Hashem say? V'yomar Hashem, v'ani avir kol tuvi apanecha. I will pass my good in front of your face. I will give Rachmanis to I decide. Moshe, you can't. You can't live and understand it. The place is with me. Meaning only near me it's understandable. There is a Hezber, but it's not for human beings. It's beyond human comprehension. So we recognize that there's one in charge, but we also recognize that we don't understand everything. I heard many years ago in the name of Reb Kiva Eger, and then I saw it's in the Minchas Usher Zmiros on Karibon. He quotes the same idea. We say, the story is in Meseches Menachos, but it has a different ending there. I'm going to give you the Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Menachos that Moshe Rabbeinu is comes up to Har Sinai, and what happens? He sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu sewing crowns onto the letters of the Torah. Whatever that means. And Moshe's like, what are you doing? So Hashem says, in a couple of generations, there's going to be a tzaddik named Akiva ben Yosef, Rabbi Akiva, who's going to darshan mountains of halachos from these crowns on the letters. Which, by the way, we have zero of those drushes in Chazal. But he said there were mountains and mountains. So Moshe's like, really? Let me see him. So zap, Kadosh Baruch Hu sends Moshe Rabbeinu to the back of Rabbi Akiva's class, and he doesn't understand a word. And he's getting depressed. And he's very upset. And all of a sudden, somebody asks a question, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's like, Halacha Moshe Misinai. Moshe's like, yes. Now I understand. So, fine. So then Moshe says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I saw him in his life. Let me see him at the end of his life. And Moshe is shown what happened to Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara says, Zu Tara v'zu Schara. This is what happens. And the Gemara just says, don't ask me any questions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer. But if you remember on Yom Kippur, when we talk about the Asura Rugi Malchus and Ela Eskara, it's the Malachim. The Malachim ask Hashem, Zu Tara v'zu Schara? And Hashem answers something that is so harsh on the surface. He told the Malachim, if you don't stop asking me, I'm going to send the world back to Tohu Vavohu. That's what it says in the paragraph. So what does that mean? Like a threat? If you don't stop complaining? So I heard in the name of Rabbi Eger, but here he quotes it. A mashal of a tailor. There's a tailor, a couple of tailors. The king has a couple of tailors, and he needs a fancy new robe. So they all get raw materials to have a contest, so to speak, who's going to make the king a fancy new robe. Finally, one of them makes a gorgeous, amazing robe. He gives it to the king. The king likes it the best, and that tailor wins. And the other two tailors are pretty upset. They're jealous. So what do? They make up a story. They go to the king and say, Your Majesty, our friend over here made you a beautiful robe, but half the strings are in his house. He pocketed half of the raw materials. He made you a nice robe, but he's a ganif. He's like, what? Calls him in. He says, what do you have to say for yourself? He's like, it's not true. They made up a story. He's like, no. I need. How are you going to prove it? He's like, I can't prove it. I used all the materials. Check my house. The king says, you have to prove it to me. Says the tailor, there's only one way I could prove it to you. If I unravel the entire robe and go back to the beginning, I'll show you all the raw materials. You can't understand how everything is intertwined in the beged. By looking at the beged, I'd have to start again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Malachim and tells us, you want to understand? I'll have to start from the beginning of the world in order to explain to you how everything is intertwined and interconnected, and there are reasons for this and for that for generations before and generations after. I'm going to have to go back to Tohu Vavohu. Right, he says on the line for Kari Bone, right, the line that we don't even, if we had 1,000 years, we wouldn't understand the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we recognize there's Kodesh Baruch Hu's in charge, and we are objects in so much and not subjects, but we recognize there is an understanding somewhere, though it's not in this world. And everything is intertwined. There's a spooky story quoted in a number of Svarim from the Ramban. Ramban had a Talmud who, Rahman al-Islam, was died at a young age. And in the version that is printed here in source number 12, it was as he was still a ghostess, he was still able to talk to the Ramban. I've heard other versions of the story that was even after. That the Ramban, I'll read the story here, that he told the Ramban, he told the boy, I'm giving you a petek. I'm giving you a little piece of paper. I have some questions. Take this, and he signed his name. He says, take this petek, and it's going to bring you into many gates in Shemayim. And when you get to the right place to ask the questions, ask the question and please come back to me and tell me the answer to my questions. The Talmud is Nifter, and a couple of days later he comes back to the Ramban in a dream. And he tells the Ramban, your name, your signature got me through every door. The Ramban, Moshe ben Nachman, don't get better than that. Doli HaRishonim, he started Chochmei Sfarad. source of so much. He dedicated his life to so much of his life to defending others. The covet of the Melchamas, he defended the Rif against the Balamor. And Sefer HaSchus, he defended the Rif against the Ravid, and he defended the Bahag. So much. It's the Ramban, so Kadosh. So the Ramban's like, okay, tell me, so you got in, you got into all the upper spheres. I got all the way in. But Rebbe, I can't give you any answers because I have no more questions. Because there are no questions here. Everything is just how it's supposed to be. And everything is exactly as it's supposed to be. So there are no questions, there are no answers because there are no questions. So point number two is the intellectual emuna, that we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge and we are objects about so much in life. And one other point related to this, an amazing shot that I heard today. And Rav Bitterman gave a sicha this week. He quoted, it's not on your sheet, but you can write it. L'hagid baboker chastecha v'emunascha balelos. L'hagid baboker chastecha, we say your chesed Hashem baboker v'emunascha balelos and your emuna balelos at night. What do you mean ve'emunascha? Chesed comes from Hashem. L'hagid baboker chastecha v'emunascha v'emunasi. I'm going to have a lot of emuna in the nighttime, in the darkness. See, he said, maybe the pshat is that if somebody is going through a difficult time, that means Hashem has emunah in them that they could handle it. The emunascha balelos. He has emunah in a family. He has emunah in a nation. He has emunah in a generation. The emunascha balelos. He knows that we could do it. That we could be resilient enough to continue. And he believes in us. Right, this simple pshat is given for Rabbi Munasecha and Moda'ani, but this is specifically related to the Tzara. And we believe that he's close. We believe that he's close by with us, helping us through the difficulty. Rav Soloveitchik points out, in the Hari Kedem, it's quoted, that the Rav gave the pshat on Baruch HaMakom, source 13. Right? Why Dafka is the name HaMakom used there? So we're not going to relate it to the Seder, but this is where he says it. We know Hamakom is used famously, commonly, in two sentences. Achenu, right? We say Monday, Thursday morning. Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, and we sing it. Hamakom Yerachem Aleihem, famous song. And where else is Hamakom said? At a Shiva house. Right, so why Dafka, those two places? Says the Rav, Hamakom is always used when somebody feels distant from Hashem, but Hashem is so close. Hamakom is Mekomo Shalom. Hashem fills the space. Hashem fills all space. Hashem created space. So Dafka, when a person is in Hester Panim, experiencing darkness, Dafka then we wish them, Hamakom, Hashem is there. Hashem is close. Hashem is close by, in the darkness. The story is told. He quoted someone, I didn't know who it was, so I looked it up. The Baal Shem of Michelstadt, one of the Rebbes, Rabbi Yitzchak Aryeh Vermeser. He quoted a story that there was he was an Ilui at a very young age. I think I've heard the Mashal in the past, but he quoted it as a story. This is very, very brilliant at a very young age. And everybody knew about him, and the Tsar also heard about him, and the Tsar wanted to, you know, see this little boy. It was this child prodigy. So he invites him to the palace, and right before he comes, he tells everybody in the palace, leave, everybody out. Everybody out, I want to be the only one here. Fine, the boy comes, I don't know how old he was, and he says to the boy, I'm going to go hide in one of the hundreds of rooms in this palace. You could find me. Find me. Okay? So he goes to hide in one of the rooms. 2 minutes later, knocks on the door, he's got the room. How'd you find me? How did you do that so quickly? He says, well, after you went into the rooms, I looked in all of the rooms. I saw in every room, the curtains were to the side. They were open. There was only one room that the curtain was closed. So I knew, you know, if there's darkness there, if there's somebody hiding there, then that's probably where you are. When the curtains are open, it's not always so obvious. not always so obvious. When there's darkness and tsaras, I think we quoted last year at the great mashal. You know, there was a town once that every day at noon, you know, money rained down from heaven. Every day money rained down from heaven. So everybody used to gather in the town square and they used to look at the floor, get ready, and then it's like the kids by throwing the candies in shul, you know? They're like looking at the floor. They're not looking at the women. They're looking at the floor because that's where it's going to come, right? They want to get the rebound off of the bima, but they have to know exactly. But anyway, so they're looking at the floor. And as the money kept, every time they gather, every day they're gathering the money. All of a sudden, one day, instead of money, rocks start falling from the sky. All of a sudden, everybody's looking up like, what's going on? What's going on? When it was money, they were looking at the floor. All of a sudden, when it's rocks, all of a sudden, they're looking up. What's going on here? So when there's darkness, we know somebody's behind the darkness. So point number two, again, is the emunah, that we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. We're objects to so much. Even little things. We were supposed to miss the bus. We were supposed to this. We were supposed to that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan that goes back to Tov Vavohu. And there are no questions in Shemayim. There are no questions in Shemayim. We recognize. And Hashem has emuna in our emuna. Hashem has emuna in our emuna. We need to believe that He is close by. Number two. Finally, third and final point. It's not just about feeling. It's not just about Hakol Mi Shemayim. But it's about taking the event and using it to go forward in our lives. The Kleisenberger Rebbe once said, he lost a wife and 11 children in the Holocaust. One of the most amazing figures over the past 100 years. Right, the Rebbe of Arusha Weiss, good friend of his father. We say in davening every morning, Ki hu amar vayehi hu tziva vayamod. So the Kleisenberger Rebbe says in source 14, Hu amar, Hashem says vayehi. Vayehi, the Gemara says in Megillah, ein vayehi, or vayehi elalashan tsar. Hashem says vayehi, Hashem says this a tsar. Hashem goes to a tsar. But after the tsar, he says, Hu tziva, he commands vayamod, get up. Stand up and move forward. Because there's certain things that we can learn. There's things that we could take into gather strength and take into our lives. Right? We don't ask why, we ask what. What could I take? What inspiration could I take from the person that was taken? What inspiration could I take to fill the void? Somebody loses a relative. How could I continue their legacy? If you think about one of the greatest, maybe the greatest tragedy ever in the history of the world, was Adam and Chava. Right? They brought death to the world. You don't get worse than that. Right after the punishments were meted out to the Nachash, to Isha, to Adam, what's the next pasuk that Adam, that the Torah tells us? What might it have said? And Adam crawled up in the cave and went to sleep. Right after the punishments, right after they realize this terrible reality that is now, Adam turns to Isha at that time and calls her Chava because she's Eim Kol Chai. Adam is able to say, okay, it happened, but now I'm going forward. We have a human race to build. She's Chava, Eim Kol Chai. And that's what we have to do with any challenge, any event in life. Maybe not right away. Right? Like I said, this might be chronological. Feeling and then intellectual acceptance and then, you know, evaluating what can I do? How could I take it into my life? Rabbi Lam has an amazing article. Anything Rabbi Lam writes is gold. But he has one sefer that they put out on Moadim in English. Rabbi Lam has on Chumash also. They put out Drasha L'Doros, but he has this on Rosh Hashanah. Where he talks about, I gave you the whole thing, three who cry. He talks about three women that we think about on Rosh Hashanah. Aim Sisra, Hagar, and Rachel. All three. Aim Sisra, right in the 100 kolos. Aim Sisra. Remember what happened with Aim Sisra? She's looking out the window, waiting for her bubala to come home. And they're like, oh, it's the sun's going down. It's okay. He's going to come soon. He's just getting more spoils. He's getting more women. It's okay. And we read about Hagar in the first day Leini. And then Rachel Bavaka al-Baneha, we read in the Haftorah. All of them cried. Rabbi Lamb says they all cried different cries. Again, you can read it inside afterwards. Aim Sisera, her cry was a cry of denying reality. Deny reality, right? She rejected everything we've spoken about. It's not true. It's not true. My son didn't. Right? You see, the mother of Sisera lived in a dream world. She refused to face reality and contemplate its bitter side. When you live in a dream world, you must expect nightmares. She was guilty of an immoral optimism, the kind of outlook that characterizes the unthinking and arrogant of all ages. He who sits on top of the world has no assurance that his world will not collapse under him. She denied reality. Hagar, what did Hagar do? There's nothing to drink. My son is sick. What does she do? She throws the baby away and leaves the baby. She is so cognizant of reality, she gets consumed by reality. This is the reality I give up. And she fades away until HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the miracle. That's the second to cry. Aim Sisera rejected, denied reality. Hagar not only accepted reality, but was consumed by the reality. And what did Rachel Imenu do? She saw the reality. She looked it straight in the eye and she said, I'm going to go further and make the best of reality. And I'm going to keep crying until HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps me out. And I'm going to be a schus for my descendants. She saw, she lived with, right? Rachel had a very painful life. Very painful life. Right? She gives away, she didn't have kids for so long. Finally she had a child, and then she died during childbirth. Rachel did not have an easy life, and yet she's the one that's mezakeh Am Yisrael. As the Rambam started off with today, it's all about tshuva. We need to look inside at this stage of the development. We need to look inside. We need to recognize, you know, little Kabbalahs, whatever we need. A little Kabbalah. You know, making one bracha every day with complete kavana. I'm going to make all brachas with kavana. Maybe it's on your level, but for most of us, you know, one, two, little things. Whatever it is. Say the first bracha of benching with kavana. No, but doing something nice for somebody who I'm not so friendly with. Every day, just doing one thing. Going over to somebody who I'm not so friendly with in the Beis Medrash and just saying, how you doing? Just starting a conversation with somebody who I'm not so friendly with. You know, to help the Avas Yisrael. Whatever it is, just a little Kabbalah. Again, just one sentence about this. The past Sara, again, I think I mentioned to the Mashir, right? Nothing's coincidental. On the day that the Avelus of Lo Nagu Kavod Zeh Bazeh was supposed to end, it continued. Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling us to Chabdu Zeh Zeh. I need more time for you to focus on Avas Chinam. We still don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And so again, that's a straightforward one. I think that everybody, you know, we didn't need this, but you know, Avas Yisrael, Niyu Kavod Zeh Bazeh. But whatever it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want us to be paralyzed. Hashem doesn't want us to be caught up in the past. We have to take the past to be a springboard for the future, again, at the appropriate time. Yehi Ratzon that any difficulty and challenge and sorrow that we go through as an individual or as a family or as a nation, we're able to properly react, fulfilling the mitzvah d'oraisa, we feel appropriately. We feel, remember the Chafetz Chaim, right? We recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in charge. There is a Baal HaBira who's always close to us, who's in the darkness. Right? I saw the curtains closed. When the curtains are closed, then you know he's there. When the curtain is closed, when they know he's there. But also that should drive us to act, to improve any area of our life, because that's ultimately what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in mind. At Hashem, we should just have simcha and nachas and health and all good things.